Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, how'd you say your name?
Dolan Perkins Valdez.
What's your title at AU?
I'm associate professor in the literature department.
Awesome. And we wanted to talk because it's a really cool local story, hometown hero of this AU professor. Just over this past weekend, you won an NAACP Literary Image Award for Take My Hand. And the other one, oh, by the way, was Finding Me by Viola Davis. So you're in good company there. How exciting was it when you heard you won? I assume you were at at the ceremony. Like, take me, what was in your mind, going through your mind as they called your name?
Well, I found out a couple of days before because they had a virtual ceremony, and that was when they announced the literary awards. And actually, at the time, I was on a flight, and I thought I'd be able to get Wi-Fi on the flight, but I couldn't. I could only text message. And so all of my friends and family started texting me saying, "You won, you won." And I'm like, "What?" At first, I thought it was a joke. And then I realized that it was real. And as soon as I landed, I immediately connected to the Wi-Fi so that I could see the announcement for myself.
Wow, that's so cool. So just for all of us, so we know how it works. So you said the Literary Image Awards are announced a couple days before the big, the big broadcast we watched on TV.
Right. They give out the awards over the course of the week. So on the night of the television broadcast, they actually only award 8.
Right.
Awards, but they were also giving out awards on Friday night at the dinner and also during the virtual ceremonies on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
That's whatever day it was. It's a week-long celebration, and it's so cool that you won. Did Viola, send you any love and say, "Hey, congrats, we're co-winners here"?
I wish she had. I'm hopeful that
there's still
she
time.
Knows about the book because she has a production company, Juvie Productions. And so I'm putting that out there. If anybody knows Viola, I'd love to talk to her about adapting the book.
Right. Let's take my hand into a movie or a series or something. Come on, Viola. Let's go. Well, without further ado, we're assuming everybody knows what it's about, but maybe they don't. So let's give them the basic premise of the book. Take My Hand. They pick up a copy. What's the basic premise of the story?
So it's a novel inspired by the real life story of the Ralph sisters, Minnie Lee and Mary Alice Ralph, two little girls in Montgomery, Alabama, who were sterilized by a federally funded family planning clinic when they were only 12 and 14 years old. And I'm actually down here in Montgomery right now. We gave them an award this morning. The mayor of Montgomery issued a proclamation on their behalf, and they were delighted. They're still alive. They still live together, and they're best friends and sisters. This is a fictionalized novel loosely inspired by their lives.
So it's inspired by them. And that's so cool that literally as we're speaking, you're down there with the mayor of Montgomery, Alabama, awarding the actual people it's based on. That's very cool. So if it's loosely based on, inspired by their lives, go into like the actual quote unquote fictional characters then that, that they've inspired. So who are your main characters in the actual story and, what's sort of their journey?
So I knew that the Ralph sisters were still alive. They can speak for themselves. I knew that the lawyer who had argued the case is still alive. He can speak for himself. But what I couldn't find were the names of the women who worked at that clinic. And so I was very intrigued by who that would have been. My main character, Sybil Townsend, is a nurse who works at the Montgomery Family Planning Clinic. And the Ralph sisters are her patients when this happens. So I use this novel as a way to ask and answer my own questions about how did we as a society and we as individuals allow something like this to happen? And how did the nurses live with themselves in the aftermath of that?
Wow. And so it's tricky because I don't want to spoil the read for anybody, but I want to make sure that I get enough, info and background on it. So at least according to the summary online, it's a black nurse in post-segregation Alabama who blows the whistle on a terrible injustice done to the patients. Are we allowed to go into what the injustice is, or is that going to spoil the book?
Yes, we can. The sisters at 12 and 14 years old were sterilized without their family's consent. Hmm. The nurses came to their house on a June morning in 1973 and did not explain to the parents, who were both illiterate, why they were taking the girls. They thought they were taking the girls for birth control, but they actually took them to the hospital and permanently sterilized them.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was a big news story at the time. It was in every major newspaper. It was on television. The family testified before a Senate subcommittee led by the late Senator Ted Kennedy. It was a big deal. And when I began to research this story, I was frankly shocked that no one had written about it. I was shocked that I hadn't learned about it in school. And I knew that it was a story that had to be told.
Oh my gosh, that is just horrific. I can't imagine. And the level of grief when they realized that that had been done to them, not only feeling, you know, betrayed by the system and the doctors and everything, but then also just the grief of that you can never have children. Like, I'm tearing up thinking about that. That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. What remind us what happened in the aftermath? I mean, were they able to get damages or, you know, punishment, legally take legal action?
Well, that part, they have to read the book to find out.
Okay, yeah, we don't want to spoil it all. tease it for us. Say, and if you want to find out, you know, so I can get maybe a sound bite. So what, yeah, what, in vague sort of teasing terms, you know, what, tell our listeners they have to read to figure out if justice is served, that kind of thing.
In order to find out what happened to the Ralph sisters, you have to read the book to find out what justice, if any, they received. And in order for you to maybe learn a little bit more about the circumstances surrounding this case, you have to read the novel.
Wow. And was this horrific event? I mean, was this a isolated thing, or had that happened to other people too?
This happened to tens of thousands of women, poor women, primarily poor women. Primarily women of color, but also to poor white women all over the country. And my call to action to the readers today is that these women have never received a presidential apology. And my hope is that we can all raise our voices to the rooftops to demand that the federal government, and in particular the president, deliver a presidential apology to the women who were subjected to this. Many of whom are still alive.
Wow. Well, I mean, you teach at AU, and this interview is going to go out over WTOP or a DC radio station. So you never know. Maybe the president or folks on his staff will hear this and we'll get that public apology. That's the goal, right?
That is the goal.
Where did you get the title from? Take My Hand. Is there like a symbolic significance to how it plays out in the story?
The title comes from the gospel song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, written by Thomas Dorsey. And it was reportedly Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite song. They say that his last words before he was assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis were to his musician, Ben, make sure you play Precious Lord, Take My Hand tonight and play it real pretty. So I knew when I heard my publicist actually suggest this title, I knew it was perfect. It captures this post-civil rights moment. It captures the South. It captures the faith of the African-American community. And I knew that this was the perfect title for the book.
Wow. That gave me goosebumps. We encourage everyone to pick up a copy and check it out. When did it publish? It was last April?
Yes, it published in hardcover in April of 2022, and it comes out in paperback April 2023. So I hope everyone will pre-order the paperback.
Oh, sounds great. All right. Well, I have plenty to work with in terms of, you know, what the book is about, the backstory, the real life people, all that stuff. But let's end by, a question or two. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you make your way to AU?
I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, so I am a Southerner by birth and by culture. I live in D.C. now. I've been at American University for about 8 years. I teach in the creative writing program there. D.C. is my home now, and it's where I live with my family, and I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. Shout out to AU. That was where I went and got my master's there. So I am two AU alums here, I guess.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles, right? Well, I also got to say go Terps. That's my undergrad. I can't slight either one of them. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I guess just how much of a joy is it to work at AU, your colleagues, the students, why do you think it's such a great, vibrant, diverse, international kind of place to teach?
One of the things I love about American University is the diversity of its student body, both geographically, culturally. We have amazing students. I used to be the program director for the Frederick Douglass Distinguished Scholars, which is our premier scholarship program. I recently actually got an email from Sylvia Burwell, the president of AU, congratulating me on the NAACP Image Award. It's great because, she's the former Secretary of Health Human Services. And my hope is that she will get a chance to read this book and give me her opinion. I have to send her a signed copy now.
Yeah, you definitely, that's what I would do, is to go for it.
That's right.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the win. That's big deal. Thank you. That's cool.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. Be well. Bye.
Bye.